never wanted to leave Riddles Creek, ever. Loved her school. We all loved her. We never wanted her to leave. And yet someone who knows the goodness of God and rests in the goodness of God packed everything up, put everything on the line and headed off. So welcome back. It's like you never leave actually when you come back. So do you want this?
I love it. I love it. Nah, she'll be right. I'm going to, this is sort of really thrown together, but I'm just going to try and not talk for too long, but then give the right amount. Little bit of a heads up. If you have questions at the end, I did put a bit of a word around at Facebook if you had any questions. I thought if I mention that now, then if you have any questions pop up, just put it in your pocket and I'll give you a chance at the end. It's... Yeah. And kids, if you have any questions as well, keep that in mind because I can ask. I never really know where to start. Mind you, that song, when we played Victory this morning, I'm like, oh, I haven't heard that for years. Oh, I haven't played that for years. That song, Goodness of God, I don't know if I got through a week without playing that song. I led worship a bit up there, combined church or the Baptist church or whatever. Every week, my program manager and I, she's a real worshiper, and I sort of learnt early on one way I could support her, and she's an amazing, amazing woman. But one thing that I could do to really support her, since there was nothing else I could do, was just to have that time of worship with her. And so lunchtime every Wednesday, we would, all the boys would come up and have lunch, all the engineers and all that would come up and have lunch. And we'd, have lunch, and then we're like, okay, now we're worshiping. And the program manager and I would just sit and worship together. And I'm, any songs in town? That was a go-to every time. That's why, I don't think I could play that by ear before I left, because I could never really play anything by ear. But, man, we played that all the time. What a great thing to focus on, the goodness of God. And that is literally, that's what it was, the goodness of God that called me to himself when I was 21. It was the goodness of God to sustain me and grow me over the last 15 years. And it was the goodness of God that gave me the inspiration and just, I don't even know. It was the easiest thing to go because I just knew it was what God wanted. But it was the goodness of God that he actually spoke to me to start with and confirmed and revealed and just continued to reveal his faithfulness and speak so personally to me, to the extent that I'm like, really? Really? I'm not a goer. I'm not a mover. I'm a stayer. He knows me so well, and yet he knows what I needed, I guess, to take me to the next step. And the way he works is just so good. How, there can be people on the other side of the country praying. We just need someone to come alongside. We need someone to just be there. I just need somebody to be able to talk to. I need somebody to just have my kids while I go and give birth or something like that. Just the things that people are praying about. And then God speaks to somebody else on the other side of the country and then speaks to lots of other people, so many in here, to give and to support and to make the way, because I can't go and do what I'm doing without that sponsorship, that support. We have to raise all of that support to be able to go and do it. And every other person, every engineer, every pilot, every admin person has done the same. And it only happens because God is speaking to people all over the place about either, hey, go, or hey, enable someone to go. So he's just the goodness of God that just continues to weave a beautiful picture by the way he does that. So that blows my mind. Wasn't planning on doing that. But very quickly, I wasn't sure who'd be here today, who had heard of MAF, who hadn't, who knew me, who hasn't. Very briefly, Mission Aviation Fellowship is an international Christian organization. We're about bringing help, hope, and healing through aviation in isolated communities. So these are the countries that we're in across the world. There's our little one. So Arnhem Land, where I am, it's the only place in Australia where needed, because we're needed where there's isolated, where roads just aren't an option a lot of the time, and there is great isolation up there in Arnhem Land. So there it is, right up the top of the Northern Territory. A lot of people have been saying, oh yeah, how's Darwin? I'm like, yeah, it's next level from Darwin. It's, 750 kilometre gravel road in the opposite direction. So it really is the middle of nowhere. I'm flying back Tuesday, but they cancelled my flight from Cairns over to there, because that's just what they do. It just happens. Oh yeah, it's getting up. Of course it is. It's middle of nowhere, and they just that happens. So that's where it is. This is our fleet of planes. We've got six GA8s J8 air vans, and we've currently got one Cessna C208 caravan. We're getting another one on our way, which is great. It's a little bit bigger, and it allows us to fly more people to the main places that we fly. I can't even remember what order I've got these in, so we'll just keep flicking them through. So this is what the land often looks like. This is what the sky often looks like. This is the domestic terminal that you fly into, so you have to fly either from Darwin or Cairns. It's really cool when you're above it, it looks like a plane. But you can see it's really in the middle of nowhere. This is a Rio Tinto mine, so they mine bauxite. It's red everywhere, but it really is in the middle of nowhere. So then there's our hangar, our engineering hangar, and our terminal down there as well. And there's a couple of other, when MAF first got there 45 years-ish ago, a little bit over 45 years, they were pretty much the only small planes. There are more now that do scenic tours and do lots of other regular public transport and bits and pieces, but we were the only one there years ago. So our mission has changed a bit over the years when other stuff is not as necessary, you know, flying the local footy team out to the other, you know, we really focus on education and healthcare, which you'll see in a minute. This one in the middle, sorry. So this is a remote community that we fly out to. That's one that we go to every day. But yeah, the land, as you can see, is very kind of sparse and a whole lot of rain and bits and pieces. So as you can imagine, if there's that much rain, there's a lot of roads that are like, yeah, you're not driving on that today. Or it just takes absolute hours. So that one in the middle there, that's where I'm beginning, where two of our pilots are based. I go out there and visit every couple of months, every 6-8 weeks or something like that. That's the terminal. And it would take, I think, 7 hours to drive out there if you can pass by on the roads and if the rivers aren't too high. So it's a 7-hour drive, easier to fly on a plane for 50 minutes or so. Cool, next one. So we major in healthcare. A lot of what we do is in healthcare. So these red things here, that's where Lanapoi, we work really closely with Lanapoi Health, and the indigenous people, the Yolngu people up there, it means everything for them to be on their land. And so they really rely on people flying out. We fly a lot of health professionals out to all of these different communities. As I said, to get like halfway, or to get a quarter of the way across that takes, you know, 8 hours, 10 hours, something like that. So it is so much easier to be able to just, every day we're like chucking on doctors, nurses, physios, OTs, lots of different healthcare professionals. CareFlight does work. They've got the hangar next to us and they do a lot of great stuff. They have nurses on board, not doctors, but like ED nurses and things like that. So they go out. But as you can see, the size of the plane, they can only land on maybe 6 of the runways. And we fly out to 64 runways. There are 64 runways across Arnhem Land. Well, runways. If you saw them, you'd be like, really? That's a runway? So as much as they are great, and they specialise in medical, so they are better at medical, but on those times where they just can't get out there, then, I mean, one guy had a croc attack and further out from Ramagining, and so we flew out to there, got the guy from out, I think he'd been brought up on a four-wheeler or something, brought up, we grabbed him from that little runway because they couldn't get out there. We flew them to Ramagining and then CareFlight could take over. So we've got a really great relationship with them and we're going to continue to work even closer with them. And the same is just St John Ambulance as well. So once again, especially the world at the moment, very under-resourced. And I'm not sure how many ambulances there are, but once again, really under-resourced. But if they have a problem, you know, 4 hours down the track, so much easier to send a plane. So if we can be able to do that and bring them in, then they can just pick them up. It's a lot easier. This is our new medical equipment. This is a specialised stretcher. That's a mechanical thing to be able to transport people more carefully. Whatever the words are, to get it into the plane. And it's a lot more, gives us a lot more capacity to be able to move patients that really shouldn't be being moved. And also, this is a Galiwinku women's space. So this is there are a couple of crisis accommodation for domestic violence. Domestic violence is a massive thing up there. Absolutely shocking, but we work with them as well. We do retrievals for the domestic violence if we get a call and there's somebody trying to flee. And often it'll be like, I was on the plane once with one of the pilots, and he said, "Oh, we've got to drop off at this place, but it's just going to be literally like a run. Well, we can't see the person we're picking up. Yeah, they're kind of hiding in the bush, and it's literally like a okay, open the door, and they run and jump in and go. So it's." We don't do them heaps. It's just we're on call for when it needs to be done because Yeah, it's horrible. But yeah, Gullawinga Women's Space is a really great, they're doing a great job with a set crisis place out in the community as well. Next one. So healthcare is really, really big on our agenda. The other thing that's really big on our agenda is education. About 40% of our flying over the week is for education. So these kids on the top, they're from the local boarding school in Nhulunbuy. Nhulunbuy's got about 3,000 people. They have a high school, a state high school, and part of that is also a boarding school. So it's called Dawur. And yeah, those are the kids we fly in every term, and then usually maybe back once during term as well. We always fly them home for holidays and stuff like that. So I'll grab them in our bus and pick them up from school, take them out to the, and then we'll chuck them on various planes to go back to various, all those different homelands. So just all the different places, almost as far over, nearly as far as Darwin. But they come from all over the place. We had some come down from near Borroloola, and near a couple of students from near Alice Springs as well. So they come from a long way, because it's just really great to have those educational opportunities to be able to come. And yeah, this is a homeland called Gungun, and it's got, it's kind of like a bit of a centre. It's still very, very small, but it's got a centre for kids to come from other homelands to have education, secondary education. So we do a lot of flying to there every week. We're like, okay, pick those kids up from that homeland to get them to this one, to get them there, and then pick those ones up. And it's an absolute nightmare logistically, but it's worth it, because otherwise these kids just would not go to school. They would not get an education. This kid here was a kid that's shown interest in flying, and this MAF pilot is actually based in Mareeba. He was down for a couple of days doing some training with our pilots, and they said, well, you know what, we've got a little bit extra time and we'll be there anyway. Let's give this guy a flight. And so he took him up and actually gave this younger kid, I can't remember his name, I'm so bad with names, gave him a flight and a chance to fly. And when you just see those interests in those kids, like a lot of these kids, if they have got no interest, they've got no motivation, what's it going to even keep them in school? It is so hard to keep kids in school. But when you see these kids that just have that little bit of interest, And if this is something that he's actually considering in the future, just taking him on a flight like that and going, hey, take the wheel for us, you know, take it. And he trained him in, you know, what to say when you're taking over and when you're taking it back and all that stuff. That might be the reason why he actually goes, you know what, I'm sticking in school. I'm going to keep going. I'm actually going to keep coming, because I've got somewhere to go. I've got something that I want to do with my life. Because hope or hopelessness is one often a real battle. So anything that can actually encourage that. Yalamba, that's right. That's what his name is. Yeah. Next one. So yeah, education is a really, really big part of what we do. So my work is as a family support worker. So it hadn't really existed until I got there, but it's kind of morphed over time and is continuing to morph. I'm kind of sort of writing my own job description and changing it as is needed. So it's family support. It's about supporting the family in whatever ways they need to be supported. So sometimes it might look like this. There's a whole lot of laundry there. If there's families visiting, or if there's families about to move there, and not just making sure that they've got what they need to be able to settle in. We have pilots that sometimes come up from Mareeba or something like that and help out for a couple of days. I need to make sure that there's accommodation there for them to be able to go in and stay for a couple of days. So sometimes it looks like that. Sometimes it's visiting. This is one of those families out in Ramanganing. So visiting them and hanging out with the kids. Sometimes it's saving frogs out of the toilet. They love it. They'd love to stay there, but the new family that was about to move in probably doesn't like it when they go to sit on the toilet and there's a frog there. So just little things like that where I'm like, you know what, I don't think the family would like that. I'm going to remove it. Sometimes it's taking care of a dog when the family's gone away on holidays to get a bit of respite or something. And I pick up the mail every day. Doesn't sound big, but when you get lots of mail and lots of big boxes and stuff like that, this is just a daily... this is actually 100 Gumatj Bibles. So we actually have the Bible in multiple Yolngu languages, but it's still exciting every time we get it. So this Gumatj translation, there's 100, so we're really looking forward to being able to distribute that out to the different homelands. We work really closely with Pioneers, which is another Christian mission organisation that is all about discipleship, coming alongside the local people and empowering them, helping them to disciple each other and things like that. So we work really closely with them. We have a few MAF people that were MAF people that have now moved over to Pioneers because they want to focus more on that discipleship as opposed to flying. So it's awesome to have that we really cherish that relationship. So yeah, we're very excited about those Bibles to be able to get them out. So sometimes it looks like this, sometimes it looks like this. Like I said, I've spent a lot of time worshipping with, if people have that time to worship and focus on the goodness of God, that makes all the difference to every part of your life. I'm sure there's plenty of people here that know that if you can be just focusing on God, it makes a difference in everything. So I've really loved that opportunity just to lead worship and just to encourage people, organize the International Day of Prayer and bits and pieces, and just to be able to encourage people in that, and they can, yeah, be built up by that, I guess. This is a lot of a bunch of our kids. So when we have our team conference, I take them and just run through activities and stuff with them. And yeah, so beautiful bunch of kids there. They're absolutely gorgeous. So we've got kids from the Netherlands, Swiss Aussie, PNG, Victoria, yeah, England, America. Yes, there's a real bunch, but they're just absolutely gorgeous kids. This is me cleaning a plane. They don't wash the plane every day, but it's really important. The stuff up there is really corrosive. The bauxite is really corrosive, so they need to keep on top of that. I don't usually wash the planes. It's not usually what part of what I do, but the pilot who was going to be washing that one, with one of our pilots, amazing man, one of my closest friends up there, he's a below knee amputee. Amazing, amazing man. Anyway, he's just works so, so hard. But this particular day, he was just having a lot of trouble with his leg and a lot of trouble with his back and really struggling. And I was just like, cool, yeah, see you out. He's like, oh, no, I'll see you later because, you know, I'm going out to watch my plane. And then I'm like, hee hee. So it's definitely not my area of expertise, but I just thought, once again, there's not much I can do for him when he's in a plane. But it's just like, yep, all right, that's what can make a difference today. And I love being able to have time to do that, you know, to have time to actually go, you know what, that's what's needed right now. And for a start, praying for him. And I'm getting better at that as well, just jumping out, challenging each other and challenging myself to go, it's not about comfort, just step out and pray, just step out and, you know, and encourage and stuff. So that's been really awesome. Yeah, driving the bus around, kids, picking up random bits and pieces like cat food and a trowel and stuff for the fridge to send out to community, just random bits and pieces that are just random. Get going. So how has my role changed? It feels like not much. I kind of forget what I've told, and people say, oh, is it what you expected it to be? And I go, yeah, because what did I expect? Oh, I don't even know. Like I said, the role didn't really, I'm just kind of making the role. What I expected was it would be an opportunity for me to help in whatever is needed. So that's what I'm doing. So yes, I am doing what I expected to do. There hasn't been much change probably over the last year or whatever as I've sort of settled in and working, and mostly the same family. So once again, I'm just getting to know them and getting to know what really helps them. Some people just need some space, just some space for a minute. They just need, if I can just take the kids for a couple of hours, that's everything they need. Some people, they don't need any of that, but if they get stuck in quarantine, then I can send them groceries or you know, another one of the wives. I think there's been two wives so far that have had a baby since I've been up there, and I just pretty much played mum for a few days where she went into hospital and had the baby and then came back and was home for maybe a day. And then I went a couple of days later to visit and just went over for a cuppa to go, hey, how's it going? While I was there, she got a call from the hospital saying, we just got your bloods back and we needed to fly you to Darwin, like now. So she went on care flight and I was like, cool, I'm here for a cuppa, but cool, I'll stay. And so I just stayed the night and just had the three-year-old daughter and just kind of just had her for a couple of days. So once again, to have the time to just go, they're like, oh yeah, but you know, it's Australia Day, it might have like impacted. I'm like, impact what? I'm here, like, end of story. It's so nice to be able to have the time to just do that. And so they could just go and just not have to think about it. So so what do I say the next 2 years? There will continue to be new staff. So we've got a couple of positions that are needing to be filled at the moment, so they'll hopefully be filled really soon. That'll be a prayer point. So getting to know them and what's really needed for them, because everyone's really different. We do have a new family that have just landed 2 days after I left, and they've got a son with particular special needs. And so once again, just getting to them. I have met them 3 years ago, but I'm getting to know them again and how I can come alongside them. Also kind of rewriting my job description. They really, like I said, my role hadn't existed, but they really, really want my role in other programs now that they've seen what a difference it makes. And once again, I just think it's the craziest thing, because I'm literally doing stuff that anyone can do. Like, it's just the most, I don't need any qualification, I don't really need any skills, like, I'm just being, and it's something anyone could do. But they now see, and it's, at the start a couple of people were like, I don't really get it, I don't get what she's going to do, I don't get why it's important. And then with the families, how the families have responded and how much they just needed it and how much they'd kind of been wanting it for years before I got there. Now the program manager, who is really, she's worked in a lot of different fields. She's worked in mission work. She's worked high up in business, and she's done work in psychology. And she's not just about planes, she's about people, and she's just amazing. But now she's like, yeah, so we just kind of need to clone Mel and have a Mel and over program. And what she means is have that role, you know, the role needs somebody who's willing to just do that. And I guess I've never been a career focused person. You know, I taught for 15 years and was always like, cool, so you're working way up in leadership. I'm like, nope, bags not. I've got no interest whatsoever in climbing the ladder of whatever. But if I had a badge for like what my role is or what it's like, what even is it? Do you know what I mean? There's no glory in it. There's no, you know, but it's just nothing to me. But maybe it's not the kind of thing that appeals to a lot of people, especially in, say, a program like MAF. You're like, oh, cool, are you an engineer or are you a pilot? Nothing. I'm nothing. But God can do amazing things out of nothing. Like, he's so good, he can do amazing things out of nothing that are willing to be for God to make it into something. So I'm kind of, I have the room to work with that job description to sort of see how it can also be applied to other countries as well. And also there's kind of just the spiritual life for health and longevity of the program. Like I said before, if people are are encouraged in their walk with God, you know, how many know if you're walking with God, things are, you know, they have centeredness, and there's like Pastor Ken said, there's hope, there's rest in Christ. Even when the world is going crazy around, when you're close with God and you know his presence and you know his calling and you know his character and his faithfulness, then there is strength and there is longevity and there is hope and there is everything that you need for daily life. So it's really on my heart to just continue to encourage the spiritual life for the sake of the program up there. It's so busy. You know, pilots are flying like crazy. Engineers are fixing like crazy. It's so busy and there's so much to do. But we can't forsake the one who actually gives us strength and hope and peace and calling and all of those things and is our daily bread. So if I can just be of help in that, whether it be leading worship or just helping to bring together people on just that... Not so much discipleship, because the people up there, most of them are older than me in terms of age and age in Christ. But just that encouragement, you know, it is so good to be able to come alongside a brother or sister. And it doesn't matter how long you've been walking with God, sometimes you just need that right word at the right time, that encouragement to keep you going in the midst of challenges. So yeah, at the end of the day, it's about people. So I don't know. I'm not much of a visionary. I don't go, well, in 2 years, I want to be here. There's already, I mean, for the last year and a half, they'd already asked me year and a half ago, like, oh, would you consider going to PNG? Like, would you? And I'm like, not yet. That's not what God has now. I wouldn't rule it out forever, but I know they would happily yoink me out of Arnhem Land right now and send me to PNG. But I'm just open to whatever God wants. I'm not making any, you know, any particular plans, but at the end of the day, it's about fit people, and I just want to be tuned into what people need, because as they are being supported, they can then be the best version of themselves and maintain everything that they're doing in the community with flying and stuff. Next one. Oh yeah, I really value the local church. Gosh, it's good to be here. I just love it. I miss it. Thinking about taking communion, I reckon I've taken communion 5 times in the last year. And 3 of them were probably when I zoomed into this church. So I know COVID changed a little bit with communion and even up there, but the local church is just, it's real kind of struggle town, really. But I really want to be contributing to the local church. Most of this year, I actually haven't been part of a particular church. Last year, I probably spoke about, maybe, I can't remember if I shared it all last year, about being part of Yirrkala Church, which is that one up there. That was a particular service. So there's actually more people there than what there has been the rest of the year. It's kind of a bit in a mess because of just the community, the local young community, has had some real challenges with family clan clashes and violence and horrible stuff. So it's just been in a mess in general. But I'm really committed to the local church. This is Beach Church. Once a month we have Beach Church, and I've jumped on board to help with that because I love. You guys probably haven't heard as much, but I literally do not shut up about combined events and about unity. The whole team up there just laughs as soon as I say about unity. Oh, Mel, you got on about unity again. Like, I'm obsessed. And I'll, you know, share the typical scripture that I'm sure you would have seen, you know, a bit later. But I really, really value that these little churches that, you know, there's a Catholic priest now. There hasn't been for most of the time. And I think, I can't even think of any other pastors. There are none of the churches have pastors. So I just want to do anything I can to try and build up the local church. Yes, certain churches, and I've committed to the Baptist church now, and I'm going to jump on board and do kids' church. I've led worship a bit, and I'll continue to do that. And but yeah, these combined events is really important to me. Upper Room is something that me and the program manager, who's just left and returned to Scotland on her way to directing in Uganda, her and I started this worship night really once a month called Upper Room, and it was just really, most of the churches don't really have room up there for the Holy Spirit, and we were just like, come on, this is what we need, you know. So this was just a thing we started doing monthly during just a night during the week to just come together and just wait on God, and I guess I've really grown just to be able to just grab a guitar and just worship in the Holy Spirit, and just that's, you know, I've grown as a musician in this time. I couldn't play guitar really when I got here at all. So I've sort of grown in my ability to play something, put something together. But it's still scary to just go, oh yeah, but I'm playing these songs up and I didn't bring music. And you know what? If we need perfect music and if we need perfect instruments to worship, there's something wrong. So it's been a real learning journey to me to just go, just get over it. Doesn't matter if you stuff up the words, doesn't matter if you stuff up this, just provide a place for people to come and just worship and be built up and have prayer. And so, so as much as my partner in crime has moved, I'm really looking forward to continuing with this and just leaving room for people to, there's so much need, and sometimes people just need to be able to go, you know what, can't put into words, can't even talk right now, but just pray for me. I can't even explain what I need, you don't have to, just pray. You know, so I'm really looking forward to just being able to continue that. This is Carols by Candlelight. So as you know, I've been involved with Kez. Kez and I were involved in Carols by Candlelight here for years. And that was great, but we didn't do a stack load because there was a nice big committee of us. Yeah, it was just not going to happen this year. So I was like, I don't want to, but it's too good an opportunity not to. So I just went, right, okay, we're doing it. And by we, I mean the combined churches. But by we, what I mean is me and my amazing couple of math ladies jumped on board with me to make it happen. But once again, it was just like, it was too good an opportunity to not have what's Christmas without a local carols where we could sing, and because I was directing the music, I could pick whatever songs I like. So we didn't have to do, you know, chestnuts roasting by the blah, 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 blah. Didn't have to do any of these chestnuts and frosty and all that stuff that I hate. But it was just a really beautiful time to have the whole community together and have the local school sing and have a bunch of younger ladies come and sing. And yeah, it was just really, really lovely to be able to share that special time of year with the community. Yep, next one. So what I'm looking forward to, I probably already touched on this. I did go to youth group once. There was a combined youth group, but that particular leader, the leader of that is now left. So I'm not sure if it's happening, but I'm definitely open to looking into that because once again, I've done it before, but more than anything, I believe in it. Kez knows when I left, I was like, I'm not jumping into everything just because I've done it before. I want to do it with intentionality, and if that's what God has, then, and I care about the kids, and I care about the youth. So so maybe that, and just continue with the combined churches and stuff. Yeah, they're not part of my math role, but you know, this whole time since the very start when God first spoke to me about going, it wasn't you're going to join math. It was you're going north, you're going to Arnhem Land. And I thought it was through math. It was the job description that had been sent to me. But if it wasn't, and if I didn't get through, I'd be like, cool, okay, I'm going anyway. I'll work at Woolies or I'll drive a taxi. I didn't care, I was going anyway. So as much as my role, it's a full-time role with MAF and family support, but my heart is very much, I'm here for the local church. I'm here for his kingdom. I'm here just because God wants me to be there. And that's the fullness of me, and it's the fullness of him who he puts in me and me just being me, and that's enough to do whatever. And so whether it's part of an official role, whether it's part of an official local church, whether it's part of just being in that place, there is a lot of hopelessness in the area. There is a lot of there's plenty of people with plenty of money, like there's lots of mining and stuff like that, but money doesn't bring peace. It doesn't bring hope. It doesn't bring purpose, you know. And as much as a lot of people say, oh, yeah, so you go in there because you must want to teach Aboriginal kids. No. I'm going because God said, but I'm going because he wants me there for whatever. And I don't want to say I'm there for this particular thing or I'm there for this particular group of people. Sure, I will reach out and I want to still keep going to the Bible study with the younger ladies. But I'm not there for that. I'm there for God. What do you want? And I really want to challenge myself in that. I feel like I say that every year and I get so inspired. I go, yeah, that's what I want. But then you just get into it and get into it. Go, no. God, what do you want? Because he knows what people need. And I don't know. I don't know all that. I can look and go, oh, yeah, you know, they're struggling with kids. I can see that. But I don't know everything that people need there. Maybe there's somebody there that's just sitting outside the supermarket, which there always is, that actually just needs a word of love and not just like a, yeah, sure, I'll give you money. Oh, yeah, sure, I'll drive you somewhere. Not that like typical kind of humbug stuff that happens, but somebody just needs a word of encouragement. Somebody just needs a prayer, you know. One quick story I will share is we were having Bible study, which was a MAF ladies Bible study, but we expanded it to just any ladies that want to come. And so we had Bible study at my friend's house, and then we came out, we sort of finished a little bit later than usual, and we came out and went, all right, we better go. And then a lady from across the road, a younger lady from across the road came over, and we're like, this is weird, what's she, you know? And she said, oh, you know, have you had a party? We're like, oh, no, we've just had Bible study. Oh, okay. And we're sort of like, oh, we probably should get going. We're standing out the front. The lights in the house have gone out, and, you know, we're all about to jump in our cars. And she said, oh, I came over because I saw the MAF car and can you pray for me? And we're like, yeah. I mean, it's 10 o'clock at night and there's lights going out everywhere and stuff. But here she was. She'd walked across the road because she'd seen us and sort of knew, recognized the car and just came over and prayed. And she just shared about her family and just shared about the struggles that she'd had. And she'd just lost a brother and there was other family stuff, issues and stuff like that. But then she just sort of said, can you pray for me? And just stood and held hands with us. So we're like, yes. And they often do that. They often stand and hold hands. But she, mid-sentence, she's already like, can you pray? And we're like, yep. So we stood on the front lawn of this house. The lights had gone out. But we stood on the lawn holding hands and just praying for this lady and praying for her family. And she's like, oh, and also remember this person and this person. And remember my brother out in Dalimboy. And remember this and remember this. And I just thought, oh, God, we could have not had that. We could have not had that experience. We could have rushed off. We could have not finished Bible study late, which we try and stick to time, but we were late and we did kind of linger. And if that's what was needed then, yes, Lord, come on. So, you know, just those little bits and pieces that aren't part of a job description. They're just part of being. They're part of being open to the Holy Spirit. And I just want to like triple, quadruple, quintuple the amount of sensitivity that I have to the Holy Spirit, because I know that's the key. That's the key to everything. If we are walking closely with God and we are walking sensitive to the Holy Spirit, then problems are fixed because he knows the problems that there are and he knows how to solve them. And that means we can know how to solve them if we're listening to him. He is a revealer of things. He's sitting there with solutions going, yeah, here's a solution for this. And we just need to listen. So I'm challenging myself this year. I just want to continue. It's like, somebody asked me recently, if there was one thing you could ask God for, only one, what would it be? And she said, oh, mine is, you know, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm like, yeah, that's great. I said, my one is just hear God perfectly. That's all I care. If I literally just hear him perfectly, everything else lines up. Everything else is fine because he gives us what we need and he gives us insight and he, you know, it fixes everything if we just walk and hear him. Oh, yeah, exactly right. Walking in response to the Holy Spirit, being intentional and just being the best version of myself. I can't do that. I don't want to do that in the natural. Being the best version of myself isn't me in the natural. Being the best version of myself is walking closely with God and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit because he brings out the fullness of who we are. So that is my biggest prayer for anything and my biggest mission in anything. Next one. Praise boys, successful carols. Yay, got by. Nearly didn't. I nearly fell in a pile, but I got by. Christmas fam and easing, it's looking relatively easy for me to get back up there, which is good. I fly out on Tuesday. Faithful supporters and sponsors, like I said before, I'm so grateful for the amazing support, both from this church and the many individuals that support me. in amazing ways. We can't do it. I can't do it. We as an organization can't do it without people jumping on board, believing in me, believing in God's faithfulness to use me, believing in God's faithfulness to provide for yourselves. It's just such a praise moment for the amazing supporters. And I do have great hope and expectations for the year ahead, which I think is good as well. It's easy to get very disenchanted, very hopeless in just the crazy business and the crazy climate and things like that. But I'm really look forward to getting back and having that hope and expectation for what's ahead. Health of Maf, my couple of friends have been sick for 2 weeks. One of the pilots here is just absolutely down and out. And there's just been a lot. There just seems to be a lot of health battles. Various kids. It just seems some. There's just like, oh, there. Oh, yeah. Now that one's sick. Now that one's sick. Now that one's. Come on, like. It just seems to be a real challenge. So that's always a prayer point, just the health of our team and their families. Recruitment of essential positions as well. We've got a few positions that we really need to fill if the rest of us can stay sane and not being crazy overworked. Just safety and wellness in the wet season flying as well. And the local communities, like I mentioned, the clan disputes. Like earlier in the year, there was a 17-year-old killed by another person because it was a different clan. They have ongoing this whole thing of that there's no forgiveness. There's never forgiveness. Part of the obligation is to pay back. And there's just this ongoing revenge mentality. And this 17-year-old was the brunt of that. And so of course that stirred up everything. So all year it's just kind of been a mess because of that was repaid. And now who knows what's gonna. You know, I said, oh, well, at least it's kind of the end of what something, isn't it? And she goes, oh, this is just the beginning. Like my local young old pastor, Madhupal, always said that. So I'm like, oh, this is not good. So it's an ongoing issue. So please pray for the community. The domestic violence is always big. COVID has only got up there since I left. It's only been up there a couple of weeks, but I know there's about 100 or so cases in Nhulunbuy, including my own community. And just hope in general. We just people just need hope. And we know that real, real deep hope that gets you through every circumstance comes from God. And so that's the biggest thing. I mean, what actually God fixes all of those things. If people can have God, then it fixes all of those other things that are a lot of the mentalities are contrary to what God says about forgiveness and about supporting and things like that. But they need God. There are a lot of Christian younger people, but it's very, very hard. Very hard for them. Life is hard, and faith is hard as well. So it's not uncommon to go, oh, this person, oh, they're on fire for God, oh, and next minute they're just gone or off the rails or beating their wife or gambling or just stuck in addictions of various kinds, and it's just very, very hard for them. And partially as well, because in a lot of ways it's seen as God is seen as, oh, that's Balinda God, white man's God, because it's very different to their own religion, dreaming and stuff like that. But there are a lot of people that have seen, they've come out of the dreaming and they know, oh, God, Jesus, they've seen what Jesus has done, but it's still hard when you've got the rest of the family against you or whatever. So it's still a big battle in a lot of ways. Just another prayer point is just efficient organising. I'm coming back in a month and I'm just going to be spending some time connecting with the churches and stuff that I'm that are supporting me. So I'm hopefully going to be quite efficient in that. Sorry, I always talk way longer than what I went. Next one, I can't remember if there's anything. These are ways that you can connect with me. If you're not sure, come and see me. I've got a couple of... if you don't get my newsletter and you want to, I can just give me your email address or whatever and I can send that to you. I've got a little prayer card thing that you can stick on your fridge to remind you to pray for me or whatever. Or if you're interested in supporting me financially as well, then you can touch base with me via those. Next one, this beautiful picture is one of these a beautiful girl, one of my good mate, the pilot, his daughter. I went to her baptism this year. She goes, all I want for my 10th birthday is to be baptized. And she just has got the most beautiful heart for God. Anyway, this was a picture that she gave me. People are all different, but just like flower petals, when they are all put together, they make something breathtaking. And I just thought, I just love that. And I asked her, do you mind if I put this in my newsletter? Do you mind if I put this on the thing? She said, oh, I don't think it's, you know, it's worth sharing. But I said, it is everything I believe in as we all work together. And we're all nothing without God, but we're all something that He can use as we come together. This scripture, I know it's a common one a lot of people know. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I could have actually preached for an hour today just on unity. And my favorite word, which once again everyone goes, oh, she always goes on about unity. I always go on about this Greek word, homothumadon. Don't comment on my pronunciation. It's appalling. In one accord. Check it out in Acts. It's used 10 times. And that concept of in one accord is powerful. And I've not shut up about it all year. And my friends were like, hey, Mel, what's that word again? And yeah, seriously, it is just amazing. The power and the blessing when people come together in unity. So like I said, I could have preached on all that and then I thought, no, because you probably want to know what Af does as well. But really, look it up in Acts. It's just amazing. But seriously, this is part of it. Unity, this and up there and his people coming together from afar. Yes, meeting together and praying together in person, but being united globally as well. And we have an opportunity all the time to encourage each other, to walk alongside each other and to be in unity, to pray in one accord. In Acts, it talks about praying in one accord, meeting in one accord, crying out to God in one accord. The amount of different things that he says to do in one accord, there's just such power in that. So I look forward to being able to share with you more about walking in one accord, and I look forward to continuing to be part of this amazing church. And that's why I love still being in the Facebook group and bits and pieces, because it literally in so many ways it just feels like I haven't left. This feels more home church than anywhere ever does, even though I've been away 2 years. So thank you for all of your amazing support. It is such a blessing to me, and it's such a blessing to know that you've got my back, and that we are rejoicing together from afar. We're rejoicing in one accord, we're praising God in one accord, and we're trusting in his goodness to continue to outwork here in this church, in this state, in this country, and all the way up there as well. So thank you so much for everything. As usual, talk too long and we've got a minute for questions. I'm around for coffee and stuff as well, so ask me questions there. But I just thought if there were any pressing ones that you know that, oh, actually probably somebody else is expecting, will be asking that as well, then feel free to say it and I can answer it once instead of separately to various people if there's any particular questions.
When Mel talks, look, there's a bit of machine gun action going on, but she's got a lot to say and a lot to share because
of a lot of experiences
that she's been through. But we're so proud of where Mel has gone to, and we've seen her grow in God, and we've seen God do some amazing things with her life and with where she's gone and how she's operating up there in Arnhem Land. We support her as a church. Many of us support her also as individuals. Donations to the MAF ministry goes through the organization, not to Mel direct, but it's part and parcel of the way they operate. Fully tax deductible for anyone that's got that necessity in their lives, so we encourage that. And have you got anything on the support cards, requirements, or people?
I've got a bunch of these. If anyone wants one of these, it has got.
Yeah, well, we'll make sure they're up the back. We'll make sure they're available and accessible, or get one of the kids to hand them out if you like, for people that want them. Maybe you want to do that now.
Get one of the kids to walk around with them and
see anyone that needs them, just to pass them around. Mel did say we have time for a couple of questions. I don't know if anyone here has anything pertinent and specific that maybe needed to be highlighted, but if not, talk to Mel, hang around for a coffee and a chat, give other people an opportunity as well, but just to share and to talk and to interact a little bit. I know Melody said she's back in a month or so, but she'll have an agenda to visit other churches that sponsor her. If you want one of these cards, please take one as they're being handed out and around. And if people have got them, that's fine, that's good.
No pressure. I know a lot of people already have one, so just if you want one, absolutely.
No pressure from Mel. But you're not leaving till you sign us. We want to see people. What you don't realise, and I think it's been a part and parcel of my life in supporting works and ministries overseas, and we have one or two in India and other places we've supported over the time. And just recently, we generously supported a guy in India, Aloysius, who's a born-again, spirit-filled, ex-Catholic priest who is doing such an amazing work amongst communities in India, not unlike what Mel is doing with people that are in isolated areas. And the other day he rang me up. He said, the churches are shut down on Sundays in lockdown, but they're not locked down on Monday. So I'm doing communion Monday nights. But people are coming home from work in different times, he said. So I'm running four services, 5:30, 6:30, 7:30, and 8:30, so people can come and we can share Christ, you know? That's the sort of commitment people have when they get out there in the areas of need like Mel's doing. So, and the blessings that we bless them with, God blesses us with. I don't know if you're aware of that. Every fruitfulness that is theirs is attributed to those that are backing and supporting as well. So my encouragement is, as a church, to continue to pray and support. Mel, will you come out here, please? Rake, Annette, or whoever's available, please, can you come and just stand with me in agreement? Fritz, Krista, feel free. We just want the church to stand together, please. And we're going to just commit. Mel, once again, into the care of God for his wisdom, his empowerment, his anointing, the Holy Spirit to fill her above and beyond anything she has ever done up to date. But can we pray together and believe and agree together for Mel's life to be such a life of blessing in this area that she's serving God in. Father, we thank you for what we've heard today, the challenges, the blessings, the interaction, the needs that Mel has been able to fulfill in people's lives, both naturally and spiritually. And Father, right now we ask for every facet of your wisdom, of your anointing and your empowering to envelop her. That, Lord God, as she returns to this place that you've called her to, that not only will she continue to do the things you're doing, but greater things. Just as Jesus said, the works I do, you will do, and greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. And we know that because he's there, the resources of heaven are there at our disposal for our ongoing blessing, impartation, and life of Christ to be imparted to others. So we release that into Mel's life now, fully and completely in the name of Jesus. And thank you for the opportunity to be a part of the ministry you've called her to. In Jesus' glorious name. Amen.